The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
And now, The Trumpet Daily with Stephen Flurry.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. We're off and running on another week of exciting broadcasts here at KPCG and KPCG.fm. Well, it's 2020, so what did you expect? What did you expect? The Trump-Russia collusion narrative? That was a complete fabrication, totally fake. And we've seen fabricated indictments and prosecutions based on fake crimes. There was the fake phone call scandal that led to the sham impeachment that Democrats, by the way, don't even talk about anymore. The global pandemic, at least in the way it was politicized, to shut down entire nations. And in the United States, to rig an election. That was fake. For 4 years, we've seen an avalanche of fake news, fake scandals, phony investigations based on specious and forged evidence over and over again. And now in the last few months, we've seen all the fake polls designed to create an illusion, a fake narrative that led into a fraudulent and phony election full of fake votes that produced, according to the fake news, a fake president of the United States of America. You can call it the art of the steal. That should be Donald Trump's sequel after he fully exposes these frauds. But right now, it would appear that the propaganda wing of the Democrat Party has the upper hand. The fake media have spoken, and they say that Joe Biden will be the next president of the United States of America. And it does not matter how many voting irregularities there were last week. The inexplicable termination of counting on election night. The laughable Biden-only ballot drops during the dead of night. The software glitches that swapped thousands of Trump votes for Biden. The tens of thousands of votes submitted after election day. The postal workers, those postal workers charged with backdating illegal ballots. And then the improbably high percentage of voter turnout in Wisconsin and parts of Michigan. All those Republicans that were blocked from observing the counting process in Philadelphia, Pittsburgh, Detroit, and Atlanta. The number of non-Nevada voters who voted for Biden in Nevada. Those who voted twice or even more than that. And then the Election Day miracle that saw the graves of our fellow Americans open wide. Tens of thousands of cadavers from all across the fruited plain. Civil War vets. Revived in time, just in time, of course, to support the Biden miracle. But none of this. Don't say this is evidence of foul play or wrongdoing. None of this matters. The media mob have spoken. The media mob have determined. They have certified this election. They have coronated their new Messiah. They have anointed Joe Biden as the next president of the United States. And now we're in the midst of a period where there's just intense pressure and intimidation on anyone who would hold an opposing view. Silence the dissent. George Stephanopoulos, he had the South Dakota governor on his show yesterday, and of course he sets it up by asking her if she, you know, how's she going to work with the new president, Joe, as if it's just understood now. There's no debate. Never mind the irregularities. Never mind the recount in Wisconsin or Georgia. Never mind the lawsuits. Never mind what the Supreme Court said to Pennsylvania on Friday. You better separate those ballots that came in after the fact. That gives us, I think, a pretty good indication of what the Supreme Court might think of all of those shenanigans in Pennsylvania. Never mind any of that. Here's George Stephanopoulos of ABC saying, you know, how are you going to work with the new president, President Biden, on some of these issues? And notice how when she doesn't accept the premise, Governor Noem, notice how Stephanopoulos just badgers her. Oh, what are you talking about? There's no evidence of wrongdoing. Here's clip four.
This is a premature conversation because we have not finished counting votes. There are states that have not been called. And back in 2000, Al Gore was given his day in court. We should give President Trump his day in court.
Governor Noem, do you have any evidence that it wasn't an honest election? You put out a tweet earlier this week saying it was rigged. Do you have any evidence at all of widespread fraud? I've spoken with Republican secretaries of state in Georgia. In Arizona, I've spoken to Republican officials across the country. They have come up with zero evidence of widespread fraud.
And that is not true. That is absolutely not true. People have signed legal documents, affidavits, stating that they saw illegal activities. And that is why we need to have this conversation in court. The New York Times itself said that there were clerical errors.
If you look at what happened in Michigan, fraud, Governor, that's
that
very
we had
different.
Computer glitches that changed Republican votes to Democrat votes. You look in Pennsylvania, dead people voted in Pennsylvania. So, George, I don't know how widespread it is. I don't know if it'll change the outcome of the election. But why is everybody so scared just to have a fair election and find out?
Right. Remember, last week we were told, be patient. Just be patient. Lots of Americans were left to wonder, why did the counting just stop? Why did it stop on Tuesday night, abruptly? And why did it stop when President Trump was so far ahead? And then the good governor of Pennsylvania came out and said, look, all these delays that we're seeing in the counting process, that's a sign. That's a sign that the process is working. It's working perfectly. Then they all decide at 11:30 a.m. Eastern, Saturday morning, just like a herd of them, a mob, a media frenzy. Everyone had determined, and to our utter amazement and shock, not 1 ounce of reservation or skepticism. Not even a caveat. Let's just state this. Let's make the announcement. But just so that you know, it is pending litigation. And also, just so that you know, these seven states, three of them haven't even finished yet. But these seven states, none of it's been certified. And then we've got recounts coming up. Why is everyone so scared? Why would the media, if they're so certain, if they're so sure, why would they be so defensive? Why would they be applying so much pressure? Why, after preaching patience for 5 days, now why are they moving on as if it's just obvious? There's no questioning it. There's no debating it. Now they've got to hurry up and finish. Al Gore had 37 days in 2000. President Trump evidently doesn't even get a day. We can't even wait till Monday when a lot of this litigation begins. They're scared. Why are they scared? And furthermore, if they don't see any evidence, why don't they go look into it themselves? Why won't George, he's the media. Why won't Stephanopoulos look into these reports? Of all the dead people voting, of all the people voting twice in Nevada, of these computer glitches, the one that happened in just one county in Michigan, and I think 37 other counties used the same software. Other states on top of that. Aren't these supposed to be the bastions of truth and fairness and justice? They don't even want it brought up. You see, it's the same spirit It's the same spirit as big tech just silencing those tweets that would go against the narrative that they have created. Listen to the reaction, the left-wing react. This is the media responding to the media. They're weeping tears of joy over this fake news from Saturday morning, clip three.
Character matters. It matters. Telling the truth matters. Being a good person matters.
I don't know why I'm crying so much, but what got me choked up was the picture of the cab driver.
And so I'm very emotional. So when you ask me how I'm feeling right now, I'm sorry. That's all I can tell you. This is how I feel right now.
Nobody knows what it feels like as a black man to be able to speak in this moment.
If you're an immigrant, you don't have to worry if the president's going to be happier to have babies snatched away or send dreamers back for no reason.
Me too. I started crying again when I heard the bell from Paris. I keep crying. I'm going to cry now. Go away from me.
You're going to make me cry.
We don't care who you are. We don't care if you voted for us or not. This is vindication for a lot of people who have really suffered.
There's your media reaction to the media concoction. You talk about an echo chamber. Here they are overflowing with tears of joy. What happens if there's three states remaining? And as I say, SCOTUS has already said, you set aside those ballots that came in late in Pennsylvania. I'll just give you one scenario. There's probably 20 or 30. If the three states remaining go to President Trump and SCOTUS, the Supreme Court says, nope, those ballots, those extras in Pennsylvania that showed up, they're not going to count. Then Donald Trump is reelected. Just on that, leave aside Wisconsin and Michigan. On that one path alone, have the media, think about this too, have the media ever, even in the last few months, have they ever altogether gotten it totally wrong? Has that ever happened? Because they're going forward now as if there is no way. There is no way this could go the other way. There's just simply no way. Governor Noem, there's zero evidence, says George Stephanopoulos. Zero. There was zero evidence for Trump-Russia collusion, and they wouldn't stop talking about it for 3.5 years. Here they go again. The New York Times tweeting out Sunday, I think it was, the role of, sorry, this is last week, okay? This is, I gave this to you, I believe, on Friday's program. This was their tweet on Election Day. The role of declaring the winner of a presidential election in the U.S. falls to the news media. The news media, we decide. Listen up. Listen up, you little peons. You little ordinary citizens. It's the New York Times and our friends in the media. We decide. We determine who wins, okay? Well, there was quite a backlash to that tweet. So they came out and deleted it. And then said, look, the news media projects winners and reports results. It does not declare the winner of the election. That's what they corrected themselves with on Tuesday. And then what did they do 5 days later? They declared the winner. They declared the winner. They didn't come out and say, look, these are the preliminary results. Here is our projection. But just so that you know, there's still a lot of things that could happen. They didn't say that, did they? Not even Fox News. I'll get to them in just a bit. Nobody. I'm watching it over here Saturday night on the BBC. My jaw dropped. They had the bio. They had the 5-minute biographies of Joe Biden's career just ready for the play button to hit. And there it was, 47 years. He's run for president three times. Finally, he wins the office of the presidency. I couldn't believe it. Total coordination. They were all ready. And you know what? If you didn't notice, President Trump that Saturday morning, he was busy tweeting. Now the media say, oh, he was off golfing. And then he came back in a bad mood. Well, he was tweeting out there saying there's a big press conference coming up at 11:30. And so when did the announcement come? Right around 11:30. Rudy Giuliani's press conference didn't get much coverage. He was talking about all the corruption. The corruption in the voting there in Philadelphia. And how that Joe Frazier, the former boxer, he's been dead 7 or 8 years. He voted this year, believe it or not. Completely smothered by this herd, this mob reaction, this media mob. They decided Saturday morning, three states still haven't declared. No, I guess it's four, because Alaska, I think Alaska's got like 150,000 votes. This is just a little pet of mine that I've been talking about with Sam. 150,000 votes that they've counted in 7 days? I know it's a small population up there. That's all the more reason why it should be a quick count. So there's four states that haven't yet declared. There's two states that are going to be recounted, audited, hopefully. There's one state, Pennsylvania, that's just a mess. And what are we treated to from the Associated Press? What happens next in the U.S. election, they tweeted out. Though the winner is clear... The winner is clear. The winner's clear. AP, here's another one. Saturday's election verdict isn't the last step in the selecting an American president. It says under a system that's been tweaked, well, it goes on to talk about the electors and the Electoral College and so on. But this is, they use the word verdict. Hey, the verdict is in. The decision is made. We have decided. We've decided it. The role of declaring the winner of a presidential election in the U.S. falls to the news media, said the news media. Here's the New York Times yesterday. Biden wins presidency, ending four tumultuous years under Trump. Further on, Joseph R. Biden Jr. achieved victory offering a message of healing and unity. Yeah, now it's all about healing. For 4 years, obstruct, resist, riot, loot, burn, attack, prosecute, indict. For 4 years, surveil, spy. And now here comes the angels of light. Look, we're just trying to bring the country together. This is a healing moment. Look at the fruits. Isn't this, when you think of it, this is what I was thinking about Saturday night and then Sunday morning, just how similar this was, the news over the weekend, to what we were experiencing in mid-March earlier this year. We wake up one morning and all of a sudden, every Western nation decides it's time to lock down. We've got to lock it down. And everyone was in agreement. And everyone went along with it. Here, I mean, it was the same thing. Well, Boris Johnson, he tweeted out congratulations Saturday night. Bibi Netanyahu, he caught some flack because he waited 12 hours. He waited 12 hours before he tweeted out congratulations to Biden and Harris. I mean, the pressure is intense. If the New York Times announces it, you go along. You are not to question it. Never mind the Supreme Court. Never mind the litigation. Never mind the recounts. Never mind the investigations. Just go along with it. You just go along. It's all a setup. It's totally fake. Just today, big announcement from Pfizer. They've got a vaccine, wouldn't you know? It's 90% effective. The first working day after Joe Biden is they've coronated him. He's the winner. And then the day after, like magic, poof, COVID-19 is gone. And who was saying along the campaign trail every single speech, you wait until November 4th, until after the election, in other words, and COVID-19 is going to disappear. They weren't talking about that when thousands and thousands of Biden supporters went into Times Square over the weekend. Just a big party, not a super spreader. Last week, remember, they were too frightened to go out and vote. That's why they had to send in the mail-ins. Because too much disease in the air. Too many people dying. What a world. Can't go to the polls because they're afraid of dying. And then you've got all these dead people voting. What in the world is going on in the United States of America? But how perfect for this perfect narrative. There's a new president. We finally have gotten rid of Donald Trump. COVID-19 is now, it's now in the rearview mirror because we've got the vaccine. It's working out. There's not going to be any more racial conflict either. Because Joe Biden, just his mere acceptance of the media coordination is itself going to heal the racial divisions in the United States. You can see the media already as they work to establish their narrative. Everything's fixed. Everything's better. They did the same thing in 2008. Well, when everyone in the world says, this is the way it is, this is the way we're going, just move along. No dissenting opinions will be tolerated. When you see that sort of thing happening, that's when God's church should speak up and say, well, hang on a second. What does God say? What does God think about all of this? What's God's position? Like I read to you last week, Daniel 2, Daniel 4, Romans 13 and verse 1. God intervenes in the affairs of men. It's God who can raise up leaders and put them down. What does God say? My father gave a message over the weekend. And here's just a short snippet from that message, clip one.
Well, I suppose that most of you have heard that Vice President Biden has declared, has been declared the President of the U.S. Now, I think that if you look at Amos 7 and you understand it, and I think we understand it very well, that's not going to remain that way, even though it certainly looks like it.
Now, there's always little twists and turns along the way that may surprise us or maybe might catch us off guard, but you've got to step back at times like this and consider what God says and forget about the way that it looks right now, this moment. And instead, look at what God says in Amos 7 and in other prophecies. You can review that first chapter in the Jeroboam booklet. Who is the modern-day Jeroboam? That's in the booklet. It was back in the trumpet in April of 2017. And then there's the May-June 2018 article in the trumpet, Saving America from the Radical Left. So this gives us the prophetic context that we need when we see these events, these crazy events, this mob-like mentality that's just happening over and over again. I gave you this passage from Exodus 23 last week. God says, you shall not circulate a false report. Do not put your hand with the wicked to be an unrighteous witness. I've talked about the subject of lying and dishonesty. And how that, as that article I quoted from last week says, nothing perverts justice like lying, not telling the truth. So that's the the subject here at the start of Exodus 23 in verse 2 says, "You shall not follow a multitude to do evil, neither shall you speak in a cause to decline after many to wrest judgment." Don't just follow the mob. Don't just follow the multitude to do evil. Moffat says, "You must not follow a majority to do wrong, nor must you bear witness in court so as to side with an unjust majority." Don't, even if it's a majority, what if it's unjust? Moses went on to say in verse 3, I mean, even if it's a poor man, you don't want to go to the other extreme either. You can sympathize with the poor man and maybe side with him, even though he's guilty. God says, look, no matter what, you tell the truth. No matter what, you seek justice. You seek fairness. Now, Amos 7, my father alluded to this. That's the time frame that we're in right now. As I say, of course, there's details here and there that we might not know, but you come back to the fact that right now, this moment, we are in the Amos 7 time frame. My father said in January 2019, this was in the trumpet too, "I believe this prophetic account in Amos 7 implies that there is a conservative advantage in the Supreme Court, one that favors Jeroboam." It says, he's talking about the Kavanaugh hearings back in 2018. And then writing on that, and that's, you know, we've written about Jeroboam, the king's chapel, the king's court, etc., etc. And then you just look at the recent history, all these attacks on the president, and this is yet another one. Another attempted coup in plain view. As I said last week, here's another short clip from my father, clip two.
But it does appear very strongly that, well, this man's going to be president of the United States, but I absolutely do not believe that at all. He was in a big parade last night, and they were going down, and he made a short speech. And if you realize what they've done for the past 4 years, you know they're going to continue to do something like this, and I think you're about to see some of the biggest frauds exposed perhaps ever, because I think it's all contrary to Bible prophecy.
So that's my father just from a couple days ago. Look at what he's still going up against, what he's had to fight against for the last 4 years, and the fraud and the evil and the lawlessness that he's already exposed. It says, and this is the November 2018 trumpet, "In many ways, Satan won by losing. His grip on the left got tighter, and victory against the devil is always only temporary. He is relentless. After a loss, he regroups for his next assault. He may lose a battle, but he never quits the war." I mean, he keeps coming after you relentlessly. The devil does. He's the one behind this intense pressure to just cave in. And look at how many weak Republicans have done that. Just 2 seconds after the New York Times comes out with its announcement, or the AP or CNN or whoever it was, they all did it together. And you've got Republicans lining up. Yeah, Donald Trump should just concede. Never mind the recounts. Never mind the investigations. Never mind what the Supreme Court says. We believe CNN. We support CNN. The weakness on display. Standing alone, 2 Kings 14, by the hand, singular, of Jeroboam. I read this passage yesterday in Raising the Ruins. That's the book I wrote about the litigation. That we're fairly familiar in this church with litigation, and also this relentless satanic attack and lies, just an avalanche of lies. I'm writing here about our depositions in 2002, and of course that led to the stunning victory in the first part of 2003. But in this section, it's page 243 in the paperback version, Ralph Helge, he got this letter from one of our former members, who was asking about the court case. He wanted to find out that we were just going to be ruined from this. We were on our way to losing. We were going to be destroyed. This was one of our former members pulling for the Worldwide Church of God, if you can believe that. And so Ralph Helge, he was quite happy to write to this individual and to update him about the lawsuit as he saw it there in the late summer months of 2002. And notice what he said. This is Ralph Helge, the in-house lawyer for the Worldwide Church of God. He said, Mr. Fleury has made representations to the PCG members, giving the misimpression that there is still the possibility in the case that the court is going to award PCG the right to pirate the Mystery of the Ages. This is simply, again, misinformation. The case has been finally decided and concluded regarding Mystery of the Ages. And Mr. Fleury, out of sheer desperation, has exhausted all legal remedies available to him. Any attempt of PCG to acquire any court-ordered right to print the MOA is over, done, finished. Legally, there's no place else for him to go on this issue. I don't know how else I can say it. PCG's only right is to stand before the bar of justice and have damages assessed against them and attorney's fees for the wrong that it has committed. Well, I mean, that sounds final. That sounds like we're just going to be crushed. That sounds like there's no way out. Our lawyers fired off a quick response to that letter from Ralph Helge, saying any competent lawyer knows that these statements are undeniably false, and you in particular know that they are. It is beyond dispute that the Ninth Circuit's September 2000 decision did not constitute a final judgment. You know this is not a final judgment. You know this. You're lying. You're just trying to intimidate. You're trying to intimidate the opposition into surrender. At my deposition in 2002, I forget which month, I think it was in July of that year, but at some point in the questioning, the attorney for the Worldwide Church of God, Alan Brown, he wanted me to acknowledge that the Ninth Circuit had upheld reversed the ruling in the WCG's favor. And so that constituted a loss. And now we're, the Worldwide, we're entitled to damages. He wanted me to admit all of this. And so I said, well, okay, I understand what's happened at the various levels of the courts and such. And I said, but look, we still have some options and we can still make some appeals. And then the lawyer asked me this. Well, are you aware that your counsel filed a petition in the United States Supreme Court on that issue and that it was turned down? And I said, yes. And I'm also aware that we have the right to do that yet again. Their attorney said, well, after the damages trial is held, is that what you mean? I said, yes. And then he said, okay. And I said, is that not true? And then the attorney responded by saying, well, I'm not answering questions here today. You are. And then our attorney interjected to say he knows it's true, so he won't answer. He knows we have options. He knows there's other things we can do. He knows the fight isn't over yet. This is what I wrote in Raising the Ruins. It was as if they expected us to lay down our weapons and surrender after one setback. The damages trial hadn't even started yet. And we certainly intended to appeal after that. On top of that, the counterclaim had not yet been decided at the district level, let alone the Court of Appeals or at the Supreme Court. Yet, in the summer of 2002, Ralph Helge concluded that we had exhausted all legal remedies, that there was nowhere else for us to go. I think the underlying message in Helge's attempt to misinform was this. Why won't these guys just give up? Why won't they just surrender? that says he just wanted all of this to be over, and he boiled over at the fact that we intended to fight them, to take advantage of every possible legal option at our disposal. We would not quit. We would not give up. We would not stop fighting. And you hear all these reports. Sources, don't you know? Sources are telling me that the president's own son-in-law, Jared Kushner, is now telling him that he needs to concede. Even Mark Meadows, even the chief of staff, sources are telling us that he's counseling the president to surrender. Looks pretty bad. Boy, it can look pretty bad when the media mob are racing along and everyone just capitulates and everyone just surrenders and everyone just bows down. Satan is a master at intimidation tactics. Revelation 12 says he's the accuser of our brethren. He just unloads vile accusations and expects you to surrender to it. He's a murderer. He's a liar. He was from the beginning, it says in John 8. Here's the entire Western world, led by the Western media, totally just writing off the president of the United States, Donald Trump. How many times has this man been written off before? How many times has he been counted out? Why is the pressure to concede so strong? It's almost overpowering. If you're someone like Mitt Romney, you're not going to be able to stand up to this. Not even George W. Bush. All of these sources. Yeah, he's all alone in the White House. He's just watching Fox News. Well, not even that, because he's mad at Fox News. He went golfing. He came back grumpy. Why so much pressure for them to concede within moments of the media declaration? Why are they, to quote what Kristi Noem said, why are they so scared? Could it be that they don't have a legal leg to stand on? Could it be that they know that to pull that off last week, they were expecting a few tweaks. You know, every election cycle, you can get away with a little bit of cheating. Happens all the time, everyone says. But widespread, coordinated cheating from state to state. That's what they had to kick into motion following Tuesday. After they stopped counting, they had to stop because it was a wave and it wasn't a blue wave. So now they get to the announcement Saturday morning. Comes right at the time when President Trump says, hey, we've got an important press conference. And now we're supposed to just say, oh, okay, well, let's move on. Again, Stacey Abrams, I don't think she's yet conceded for the governor's race in Alabama last year. No, sorry, 2 years ago. And she's a hero. Let me fill you in on how Democrats are promoted. She has yet to concede. And what did that win her and her party? The possibility of running for president in 2024. They think so highly of Stacey Abrams for refusing to concede, for insisting that she got robbed, that she might be the next president. But if you dare do that on the other side, you just need to be crushed. 4 years, resist, obstruct, impeach, surveil, indict, attack. And now they say, look, just surrender. And let's heal together. Let's all heal. Now is the time for healing. This is from Newsmax over the weekend. It says, for those of you that might have tuned in and did not see Fox News' Justice with Judge Jeanine Pirro on Saturday night, sources told Newsmax that show was suspended over a spat on the network's coverage of President Donald Trump. Sources close to the network tell Newsmax because she made a very staunch defense of President Trump and wanted to expose the vote fraud that took place in the election, Fox News decided not to air her show. That was Saturday night. They couldn't air it because, well, according to this report, because Saturday night, they were still celebrating the Biden victory. It says here, Fox News is not the only news organization scrambling to go decisively critical of President Trump. The New York Times reported Rupert Murdoch's tabloid, The New York Post, has shifted its tone on Trump as a top editor has planned his own exit from the reputed oldest newspaper in American history. And if you didn't notice the New York Post, its headline on Sunday morning, this was the cover story after 144 million, 5 days of counting and 144 million votes, that is, 5 days of counting and squeaker wins in Rust Belt states, America finally gives her verdict. It's Joe time. It's Joe time. Here's what the article said. President-elect Joe Biden delivered a resounding victory speech on Saturday in which he vowed to heal a fractured nation, a nation reeling from racial unrest, a deadly pandemic, and historically deep political divides. It says more than 1,000 jubilant supporters had flocked to the drive-in rally. Let me just read that to you again. I want you to get the numbers here. More than 1,000 supporters flocked to the rally. This is the new president of the United States that we're told brought in something like 74 million votes. And he brought in 1,000 well-wishers. 1,000! That's it. It tells you something about the fake news, the fake narrative, the fake president, the fake everything that we're seeing. It says the commander-in-chief spent the first day of his lame duck presidency. It's already lame duck, see? Tweeting and golfing and was photographed looking stone-faced as he arrived back at the White House. It says, as congratulations poured in from leaders all around the world, Trump vowed the race was far from over. And his campaign's preparing for a legal fight and so on. Well, at least they acknowledge it. But that's the New York Post. Who would have thought just a few weeks ago the New York Post risked its reputation and went right head-to-head with big tech over the Hunter Biden laptop and the revelations from Tony Bobulinski? But you knew. Remember that Tucker Carlson interview with Bobulinski? And then right at the end, Tucker's one of the sharpest out there. Right at the end, he said, I really want to thank the management at Fox News for allowing this to air. And even as I heard that, I thought, wow, the pressure. He said, I came under a lot of pressure not to air this. And then he announced at the end of the show, thanks to the Fox News management for letting me run this. And I mean, that's a bad sign of things to come. This was after the debate debacle with Chris Wallace. And then, of course, the election night. I mentioned, I believe this is clip 9, but this interview that this is President Trump. He got some flack for this interview. This is after 3 days, 14 rallies. And the one that he came back from was like 2 or 3 in the morning. And then he's up in the morning at 7 a.m. talking to the Fox and Friends crew. And then all the media critics, oh boy, he just sounds lethargic and his voice is low and in some of his speech is slurred. Well, he just got back in the middle of the night. And then he's up talking to Fox and Friends. And he's telling them to their faces, your network has changed. And people ask me, what's the big difference between this election campaign and the one in 2016? And President Trump said flat out, it's Fox News. What happened to Fox News? Here's clip 9.
Actually, Fox puts them on more than anybody else, which is sort of shocking to me because Fox has changed a lot. And somebody said, what's the biggest difference between this and 4 years ago? And I say Fox of politics.
But we just want to show both. unlike the other networks, they were trying to show both sides. They
well,
say
in
that
the old days, they
he's the reason.
Put, you know, they wouldn't put Sleepy Joe Biden on every time he opened his mouth. You know, they had other networks for that, frankly. And it was run, you know, it's a much different operation. I'm just telling you, it's much different. And, you know, right. I, and you have great people when you have Sean and you have Laura and, you know, yourselves, and you have some incredible
Ainsley.
People.
Yeah.
I'm just saying Tucker's been great. You have, I think you've had, you really have incredible people, but it's yeah. much different. I could name some of your side players, and you'll interview, you had a period of time, I think you're still doing it, but you had Democrats on more than you had Republicans, and look, it's different. You know, I'm not complaining. I'm just telling people it's one of them, but
right.
It's a very sad, to me, it's a very sad thing.
That's President Trump on Election Day, the morning of, saying that, look, I'm just telling you, it's very different. It's not like it was in the old days. And then later that day, later that night, wouldn't you know it, Fox News calls a state that to this day, 7 days later, no one else, except maybe the AP, no one else has even called Arizona. Fox News called it on election night. The Murdochs, they got him back. They got their revenge for what he said there on their network. And we learned right away, didn't we, this election cycle, that they're all in on it. All of them. They all want to bring it down. I think one of the Murdoch boys' wives, or wife, I should say, he doesn't have more than one, she tweeted out that we did it. We did it. We brought him down. It's a bad sign. Now, I will say, even if they nixed Jeanine Pirro on Saturday night, at least they let Steve Hilton and Mark Levin speak freely last night, from all that I could tell. But listen to this from the Federalist on Sunday. Let's conclude the program with some facts. Never mind the media spin. Never mind the media mob, the media frenzy, the fake narratives, the intense pressure to conform, to concede, to surrender. What are the facts? Here's the Federalist on Sunday. It says, nothing has changed since Friday night. You might find that strange given the media stampede to certify the election results for their man, but it's crucial. The calls made Saturday morning are as arbitrary as they were last Tuesday. He writes about the media mob, saying, the conclusion is an attempt by the American media to pick our president and decide our election. The danger comes now when, in concert with Silicon Valley, censors, they use their own decree to dismiss and silence anyone who says otherwise. They're in concert with these censors in Silicon Valley who are basically silencing anyone who would say anything different than what we heard on Saturday. It says further on, from before he took office, attempts to delegitimize President Donald Trump's administration employed tools ranging from innuendo to foreign disinformation and from partisan conspiracies to laughably labeled anonymous senior officials. They did not stop Tuesday, holding calls on Republican wins like Florida for hours and North Carolina for days. North Carolina still frozen, by the way, for days, while recklessly rushing calls on states like Arizona for Team Blue. It says, since Election Day, the irregularities have piled up. None of this is proof the Democrats didn't win the election, even if it strongly suggests illegal and undemocratic activity in states across the nation. But it is a naked corporate attempt to exert control over what is happening in the United States. If just one thing, remember this. Corporations don't get to pick our president, and they don't decide our elections. It says Donald Trump's entire presidency is an affront to the media. His victory was an assertion that they are not in charge. We are. That's why they hate him. That's why they have to destroy him. And that's what this power grab is about. It isn't an election result. It is media elites reminding the people who is really in charge and who gets to make the rules. He says, finally, nothing has changed since America went to bed Friday evening. There is a fight coming. After over a century of rule, the corruption of the big city Democratic machines will finally be examined in court. Every day, the media is going to call you crazy for demanding it. It says, buckle up. They're going to finally come under scrutiny, these corrupt Democratic machines in Philadelphia, in Atlanta, in Detroit, in Milwaukee. And as the president likes to say, we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. But you look at the three remaining states left that haven't been finalized yet. None of them have been certified, but there's still three out there. And President Trump, he's behind in Arizona. But listen to CNN from yesterday, clip 5.
For instance, let's look at the state of Arizona, a state that the Trump campaign might actually have a shot of winning.
So you add Arizona, you add Alaska. He's way ahead in Alaska. He's ahead in North Carolina. And Alabama's pretty much a toss-up. And then basically, I forget I did the math earlier, but you're less than 20 electoral votes behind. So one flip, like in Pennsylvania. Here's Alan Dershowitz on Newsmax News over the weekend, clip 6.
Well, I think the lawsuits will turn on the numbers on the ballot. For example, in Pennsylvania, I think President Trump would win that lawsuit in Pennsylvania if the number of late ballots would determine the outcome of the election. Remember yesterday, Justice Alito required that all the ballots that came in after Election Day, even if they were postmarked before, be segregated. If those ballots would make the difference between winning and losing in Pennsylvania, President Trump will win.
His position is that if it's enough, if the corruption rises to a level where the number would be determinative, then in his view, the courts will get involved. If there was widespread cheating, not just a little, you know, one dead person here or one person over here that voted twice, but if it happened in any of these states on a mass scale, and as he noted there, I mean, Justice Alito's already tipped his hand. He heard Pennsylvania wasn't keeping those votes segregated, the ones that came in late, and so he issued the order. I think it was late Thursday or sometime Friday. Keep those votes separate. They allowed this nonsense to go on before the election, because John Roberts sided with the liberal wing, and it was 4-4. So they didn't stop it. And the four conservative justices said, look, this is going to be a mess after the fact, and it's going to make it look like we meddled when all that we were doing was upholding the law, the Constitution. Well, those four are going to be joined by Amy Coney Barrett this time around. And what is it my father has said about the courts? About the kingdom's court, about Amos 7. You could look at this and see a lot of things lining up. We may not know every little detail, but it's pretty fascinating to watch. When the mob collectively says exactly the same thing, that's when we need to step back, get our bearings straight, and return to God's word and see what is it that God says. What is God's view? What is God's opinion? This was Newt Gingrich on Fox News yesterday, clip 7.
We believe these people are thieves. We believe the machines are corrupt. The big city machines are corrupt. We think this is an election. And interestingly, Patrick Basham, who's the most accurate pollster, he's British, wrote in a British paper this morning that this clearly was a stolen election, that it's impossible to imagine that Biden outran Obama in some of these states. And he said, if you look at places like Cleveland or Chicago or New York, none of this happened. But where it mattered, they stole what they had to steal. And I think that they have a big mountain to climb.
They've got a big mountain to climb. There's another comment from James Dellingpole that says virtually the same thing. He's a commentator here in the UK saying this thing clearly was stolen. Well, how is it going to be set right? Don't forget what President Trump himself said on September 23rd. This was a couple weeks before the election, or I guess it would have been several weeks before the election, back in September, clip 8.
I think this will end up in the Supreme Court, and I think it's very important that we have 9 justices. I think this scam that the Democrats are pulling, it's a scam. The scam will be before the United States Supreme Court, and I think having a 4-4 situation is not a good situation. If you get that, I don't know that you'd get that. I think it should be 8-0 or 9-0, but just in case it would be more political than it should be, I think it's very important to have a 9th justice.
Just in case it's more political than it should be, I think it's important that we have a 9th justice. And so Ruth Bader Ginsburg, her slot is now filled by Amy Coney Barrett, and we'll see what happens. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. If you'd like to email the program, send comments to td@kpcg.fm. We thank you for joining us on today's show, and we'll see you tomorrow.